Hello, my name is Scott Shell. I'm the University of Wyoming Extension Entomology Specialist. And today I'd like to share with you some information about a long-term pest of the wine industry. And it has now been found in Wyoming. So definitely want to raise awareness of this pest because it's an important one and people need to make decisions that can affect their vineyards in the long run based on this pest, whether it has occurred in your vineyard or hopefully you can prevent it from ever getting to your vineyard. As this very old cartoon from Great Britain from the 1800s indicates, the phylloxera, as it's termed in this cartoon, it finds out the best vineyards and attaches itself to the best vines. So in a way, it is kind of funny, but not at the time, because the impact that this pest had on the wine industry, especially in France, but it impacted all of wine production in Europe. And to this day, the vast majority of the grapevines in Europe are put onto American rootstock in order to survive this pest, because the native European rootstock did not have a resistance to grape phylloxera and would die. Definitely this is still an important pest, and it has spread across the U.S. From its native region in the eastern United States, where it fed on native varieties of grape that could tolerate it without dying. But essentially, you know, it's the importance of not introducing exotic pests is really illustrated by this story, and it is covered excellently by Wikipedia. They have a really a good page about the history, and it's an interesting story. It's called The Great French Wine Blight, that you can visit and read more about it. So the grape phylloxera is a small insect in the same order as aphids, and it kind of resembles an aphid physically. They're very small, as illustrated on this slide. That yellow dot in the inside of the Q on the quarter is an adult grape phylloxera. So essentially, you know, they have a major impact if they get on the roots of grape plants that are not resistant to their damage, and eventually it will. Their feeding causes injury and allows in pathogens, and the grapevine will wither and die from this pest. So again, it's it has an importance all out of proportion to its physical size. There are two forms, or you could almost call them strains, of this pest. So they're one species, the grape phylloxera, but they have, in one case, the forms will be mainly on the leaf surfaces and form galls, where their feeding induces a change in the leaf material, and it makes essentially a protected structure for them to feed within. And then the other strain of this pest is primarily a root feeding pest. They think in some cases this is due to the soils types. Sandy soils are not conducive to having the root feeding form, but you can definitely have the leaf feeding form. And you can, in the soils, they like heavier clay soils. In those cases, you can have both. But sometimes you'll have the vines die off in those situations, and you won't see the aerial form or leaf form galls that will reveal the presence of the grape phylloxera. They have a fairly complex life cycle, even more so than many other aphids. methods. So definitely one of those things that in Wyoming, we were fortunate that the first instance of the great phylloxera that showed up in Goshen County was the leaf feeding form. So it was pretty obvious what it was. Again, this is like a warning bell for any person growing grapes, is that we need to be careful. One of the advantages of growing grapes in Wyoming is it's isolation. You can escape from some of these pests. You may have to deal with a harsh climate and other problems, but you essentially are kind of quarantined by our climate and the distance between areas that grow grapes naturally and Wyoming. So again, definitely, this is like an early warning that we need to be careful not to get any more grape phylloxera in our vineyards. So again, the grape phylloxera has a relatively complex life cycle. Either strain has differences as far as the plant tissue that they feed on and how they overwinter, whether they formed wing forms that can help spread them around. Again, it's thought that the soil types and conditions of the soil play a big role in whether you'll have survival of the root feeding form of the phylloxera, which is much more damaging than the leaf galling form of the phylloxera or strain. So again, these insects are thought to be transported mainly in the crawler stage, and there they can be transported on nursery stock or machinery, shoes. They think that they in the orchard they can also be maybe wind transported with soil particles because they're tiny. If the adults are small enough to fit within the queue on a quarter, you can imagine how small that the hatchlings from the eggs are. So even though the leaf galling form won't kill your vines, it can have some impact on the production and definitely impact crop quality, because it is hijacking part of the leaf tissue of your grapevine for its own use. I found this information from the Extension Service at Mississippi State about cultivar susceptibility to the leaf form of the grape phylloxera. So again, kind of interesting that perhaps if you are in the stage of either expanding your vineyard or starting a vineyard, these might be something to keep in mind. Like say in Wyoming, hopefully if you can prevent the grape phylloxera from getting into your vineyard, you won't have to be tied to selections of varieties that are resistant. But again, certainly it's something to keep in mind that there are steps that can be taken after grape phylloxera gets into a vineyard to help reduce its impact. So in areas that have had the introduction of the root form of the grape phylloxera, which includes Mesa County in Colorado in 2016. That in those situations, if your vineyard is not planted to resistant rootstock, you're going to have to do that eventually, because there are no really effective controls of the root feeding form of grape phylloxera. They've even discovered to their dismay in California, where they were using what is termed the AXR number one rootstock, it turned out to be susceptible to the biotype B of grape phylloxera. So again, all of the resistant rootstock are based on Vita species that were native to North America and evolved with the grape phylloxera so that they can tolerate the damage and not die from it. So in terms of organic controls, really the cultural practice of grafting on a resistant rootstock is the only one for the root feeding phylloxera. In many cases, there can be an advantage to having own-rooted grapevines. They can be more resistant to bad weather, cold weather, those types of things. But once you get the root feeding phylloxera in your vineyard, you're really at this time the only non-insecticidal option is the resistant rootstocks. You can treat with some types of systemic insecticides, but it is a stopgap measure, and the phylloxera once in a vineyard is just about impossible to eradicate. Regarding the leaf galling phylloxera, there are a couple of organic insecticides that are registered that can be used against the pest, but the timing of the application is very critical. For once the phylloxera have gotten on the leaf and started to transform that tissue into a gall to physically protect them from any topical insecticide, you don't have any effect once they're inside that protective gall. So, how do grape phylloxera infest new vineyards? How did they get to the one in Goshen County? It's hard to say. The quotes I found in the literature think that the main mechanism is through grape nursery stock. So, the phylloxera is known to occur in all the grape-producing states of the eastern U.S. and California. It has also been found in a couple of Pacific Northwest states now, and of course, now Wyoming and Colorado have it. So again, if you're purchasing grapevines, thoroughly inspect the roots before planting, as this quote emphasizes. And the other thing to keep in mind is the first instar nymphs, those tiny little things just to hatch from the eggs, are active crawlers, and they may move about from plant to plant on the ground or on the soil surface or by blowing in the wind. Remember, these things are so small that they would act more like plankton in the ocean when you consider them. They could crawl up to a leaf edge and let go, and the wind could carry them quite a ways. It's also thought that they can be moved between vineyards on cuttings and boots and equipment. And the thing about it is, keep in mind, prevention is going to be key here. If you don't have them, you don't want them. And so doing any kind of your own quarantine to protect your vineyard from accidental introduction is going to be smart. So pest prevention is the best step as part of integrated pest management, or IPM. And developing an IPM plan for your vineyard for all of the possible pests is a good idea. And the idea of a biosecurity plan is, it's like trying to ensure that no pathogens or pests are brought in to your vineyard. So having steps or security to before any material is brought in, organic material, new cuttings, all that sort of stuff, to make sure it is not infested is smart. It's much better than having to treat. But again, besides prevention, you have monitoring. So keeping an eye on your vineyard for any things that are unusual. If you have vines that are looking sickly, in some cases, because you have to dig up the roots, you're pretty reluctant to do that. It's not like having a row of turnips where it's like, oh, they're not looking too good, and you can go over and dig up a couple and it doesn't cost you very much to look at the roots for the pests. In the case of a vine, you'd be pretty reluctant to dig them up. But again, that could be something that you have to do if you start seeing symptoms that don't match other known, say, nutritional deficiencies or things like that that are in your area. So certainly, keeping in mind, preventing the pests from getting to your vineyard is going to be, the number one goal. Other possible pests of grapes, that have been recently found in Wyoming or recently introduced are the Japanese beetle, which was found in the summer of 2020 in Kendrick Park in Sheridan, Wyoming. The Japanese beetle can be a problem in grape orchards or grape vineyards. The other thing is the European paper wasp is a known pest of grapes. It is found in many towns throughout the state now. Looking at this photo more closely of the yellow jacket feeding on the grape, that is not a European paper wasp. They have golden antennas, but again, wasps and the European paper wasp will in late summer often will feed on fruits, and the damage that they inflict can also make the grapes susceptible to the fruit flies, including the new invasive spotted wing Drosophila, which is playing havoc with caneberry production for people in the state. So again, these pests, all of these pests, you want to do everything possible to prevent them from getting introduced into your vineyard. It's just more problems that you don't need. So again, relates back to prevention as the best step of IPM in biosecurity, making sure that you don't get these pests brought in. It's the first time I had the spotted wing Drosophila submitted to me for identification was from a place near Cheyenne, and they think that they accidentally brought them with peaches that they had purchased in Illinois, and they had a few soft peaches that were starting what they thought was just kind of mushy on their own. They threw them in the compost pile without properly disposing of them, and from that emerged the spotted wing Drosophila. So again, certainly keeping in mind biosecurity, don't introduce any pests if possible. Take steps to restrict entry and visitation and what materials are brought into your vineyard. I've provided these web addresses of additional detailed information on the grape phylloxera. If you're interested for reading these, it's worthwhile. The more you know about a pest, the more likely you can successfully deal with it. I make no pretense as being an expert in viticulture or the pests of vineyards, but I am always willing to try to help and also put you in contact with people that know more than I do. I feel that's an important part of my job too, is knowing who to contact for advice when it's needed. So again, this information provides a lot of detail, and if there's anything I can do, you can reach me at the following contact information: my regular mail address, my phone number, and my email. So again, definitely, I think this is a warning for the grape producers in the state that you want to be on the watch for phylloxera, and don't think that you're safe here, and be vigilant on any material that you bring into your vineyard. With that, thank you for your time and attention, and good luck on your next growing season.